Hey guys, what's up? It's Dylan Godino, founder and editor. No, okay, fuck that.
Founder?
I'm going to have to do this 1,000 times now.
Go. It's gloryholeradio.com.
Gloryholeradio.com, yeah.
Okay.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Dylan Godino, founder and editor-in-chief of laughspin.com. You are listening to... What's up? No, that's not right.
You're a chief?
Oh,
hey, I thought you were Italian. I didn't know you were Indian. Ba-da-bop. Huh, ready? Go.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Dylan Godino, founder and editor-in-chief of laughspin.com. You are listening to, you know what, dude? Robert Kelly's podcast on gloryholeradio.com. Is that right?
Well, why did you have your eyes shut?
Because I was fucking concentrating. You know what, dude?
Hey, what's up? This is Robert Kelly, and if you're listening, this is a surprise live random podcast of You Know What, Dude? And I'm here right now with a good friend of mine, Dylan Godino.
Yeah.
No R. The founder, editor-in-chief of LaughSpinMagazine.com.
Yes, indeed.
Formerly the editor of Punchline.
Yes, it was punchlinemagazine.com, and now it is laughspin.com.
Yes.
Because change is good. Change is good for the soul.
Change is good for the soul.
So I'm told.
It's like chicken soup.
That's right.
I'm checking right now. We're sitting here. We're about to do a podcast.
Yeah.
And I was like, let's do this. Want to do it live? And you're like, I don't care, because you're the most mellow guy I've ever met in my life.
Really?
Yeah, well, yeah. You're like.
You should.
A lot of people that I know, like in the industry.
Yeah.
Who aren't comics.
Right.
Are very mellow people.
It's funny. You're not the first person to tell me that I'm very mellow.
Yeah.
And I'm not at all mellow.
Really? So you got a fucking temper.
I mean, I don't have a temper, but I'm definitely full of anxiety a lot of the time. And
you just had a kid, and then you just had another kid.
I did.
You're married.
Yeah, it's great to be here. I get a nice few hour chunk break.
Right. Yeah.
And yeah,
that's the only reason why you wanted to do my podcast.
I
bet you sold this to your wife as like, look, this is a big deal. I gotta do this. You know, blah blah blah. You probably lied.
No, not at all. No, I texted her yesterday and I said, hey,
back off that mic just a little
bit. Okay.
Yeah, right there.
I said, hey, you know, is it okay if I do Robert Kelly's podcast tomorrow?
You asked? I was kidding.
Yes, no.
You had to ask?
I mean, you know, I have to tell her.
No, you just had a baby, so go ahead.
I can't just be like, I'm leaving for a few hours. So she said, yeah, she just, her only thing was that she wanted to get a bikini wax at some point today. So I'm like, all right, that's fine. So
you have to give her a bikini wax.
No, I don't have to give it to her. I just...
All right. I'm sorry. Relax.
She just...
Pull back. I apologize.
So that was it. She's good like that.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
She wants a bikini wax. But didn't she just have a baby?
Well, a month ago she did. Sure.
Isn't that area kind of off limits?
I think
why
it's...
Why is she trying to maintain down there?
I think it's probably... back on limits at this point.
Oh, really? I thought it was like six months.
I think. I don't know.
Is she Italian?
No, she's Polish.
Polish?
Yeah.
I married a Polak.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They're strong broads.
They're very stubborn. Like, my wife, like, I could literally fight my wife, and she won't give up.
Yeah.
Yeah. She'll cry, and she'd cry before she'd give up.
Yeah. My wife's not much of a crier.
Yeah. Mine isn't either, but I'm saying if I was choking her and punch her in the face,
she'd probably start crying.
And I was breaking her arm and like a you know, yeah, she'd cry before she said I give up.
Before she gave up,
yeah, that was
yeah. So when she cries,
I don't like that you assumed that you made your wife better than mine.
No,
my wife's not a crier.
No. That's not a good or bad thing. My wife, nice. Robert Kelly just dropped coffee on his, nice white shirt.
Well, it's not a nice white shirt. It's a fucking T-shirt.
I'm trying to talk you up.
No, you don't need to. There's four people listening right now, and they know. If you're listening to this podcast live, they know.
Yeah.
I buy these at least once a month, a brand new pack of. There's nothing better on the planet Earth than white T-shirts.
I agree, except I tend to get the black ones. I enjoy the black ones.
Well, that's because you want to look a little thinner than you are. You're trying to thin yourself out.
Probably.
I don't need to do that.
Probably.
I wear white.
Because why? I mean, why? But black is...
I want to enhance my fatness. So maybe it will actually motivate me.
Okay. All right.
But anyways, I'm sorry I spilt that shit.
That's okay.
Your wife is Polish.
She is.
She just had a baby. You had your second baby.
Yes, indeed.
That's crazy, man.
It is crazy.
You regret it?
No. No,
look at
I mean,
me. Look at me. You regret it?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, I it's good. You know, a lot of it depends on the type of, you know, person you're partnered with. If, you know, my wife is a strong, independent person. And, right. You know, it makes things a lot easier when you have two kids, you know, that you have somebody that's, you know, has their shit together. And it would be different if my partner was different.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, if you married somebody who's a hunk of shit or isn't as reliable.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
But that happens. People get married and people have kids and, you know, there's always kind of in the back of their head, they know like everything's not 100% right.
But does your wife know she's supposed to cook and clean like my wife does?
Your wife cooks and cleans or she knows she has to, but she doesn't?
She knows she's supposed to.
No, my wife voluntarily cooks more than I feel she needs to.
Yeah.
Like I'll come home and and every once in a while, like she will have made like a real dinner.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, why did you cook?
Why would you say that?
Because
just
Because I don't want her to think that she has to, you know.
Yes, you can step away from the mic a little bit. It's really hot. I got you really hot for some reason. That's good right there. Thanks, brother. I told him to eat the mic in the biz. That's that's where you put your mouth right
I'm
up
on it. Following directions.
That was just a test to see if you really would eat the mic. Apparently, you're good at that. Get it? Because it's a cock.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Anyways, my wife, here's the thing about my wife. She loves to cook.
Mm-hmm.
Loves it. She wants a new kitchen so bad. Okay? She wants a... Which I'm going to get her. Because she loves cooking. She loves cooking breakfast. She can't make a fucking omelet, though. That pisses me off. She can't flip the omelet. So every omelet turns into scrambled eggs. That's the one thing that kind of bugs me. And she doesn't like bone in chicken.
Okay.
So she... Even like when she does chicken cacciatore, she does... chicken breast, grills it, and then puts it in the, which is not chicken cacciatore. It has to have the bone and the fat and the dark meat to give the fucking taste.
Right.
Yeah, that's where all the taste is. Everybody knows the bone is where all the flavor comes from.
Right.
And
she takes it out.
Other than that, she's fucking amazing. Cooks breakfast, lunch, dinner. She loves to cook. She was taught by her mom. She loves to clean. She doesn't love to clean. She'll clean. I offered to get her a maid. She won't do it. She doesn't want somebody else in the house doing. She's stubborn, you know. And the laundry too. It's like just send it out. She's like, no. Why would I do that? So I lucked the fuck out.
Yeah, that's nice.
I lucked out because we've had arguments where it's like, well, just you know, don't do this to my shirts. Like, don't dry my shirts.
Yeah.
Because you know me, I've been tubby. Pretty much. I'm skinny or tubby, you know. But anyway, I don't like my shirts in the dryer because it shrinks. I like them the way I bought them. When I try it on the store, that's the way the shirt has to be for the lifetime of the shirt.
I hear you.
There's nothing fucking worse. I mean, you're a thin guy your whole life.
No, not really. Not really. I've gone up and down. It's a struggle for me, too.
I've never seen you fat.
Well, you've seen me... heavier for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I mean, what's heavy to you? 10 pounds?
I mean, no, more than that. I mean, I have video evidence. During one of our video interviews, I was definitely chubbier. I'm not saying I was obese or anything, but...
Well, are you saying I'm obese?
No, I'm not. No, I'm just saying it's something I obsess about.
You obsess about food?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's funny because on your webpage...
Uh-oh.
One of your advertisers is the diet I'm on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Medifast.
Ah.
They're one of your advertisers.
Yeah, but a lot of that stuff is kind of automatically... I couldn't tell you who.
So what is it? How does that work?
Well, it's probably... that specifically is probably a Google ad. So It's probably... They target it somehow using algorithms and...
Right.
So...
Well, okay. Because
I'm not familiar.
Well, they know that a fatso is looking at the website
right
now?
I don't know. Some of them are targeted better than others.
It's actually...
What page is it on?
It's... I don't know. It was on the front page.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's gone.
Because sometimes it's... It grabs keywords and stuff.
Really?
Like, so if there's like a... If there's like a story about a comedian who's talking about politics a lot, they'll pull an ad that'll, you know, have something to do with politics or something. Like a Ron Paul ad or something.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny, man. Because I thought it was... Now that you said that, it's like Netflix and Medifast.
Yeah.
It's like... It's just exactly what I am.
See?
But... That's weird. I didn't think you had a problem with that. You're a thin guy. Here it is right here, Medifast. All it is gas and farts.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just little tiny snacks all day.
Yeah.
And then you eat a meal, and then but you're so bloated and gassy. My farts are fucking awful.
So what... So you don't eat meals all day? It's just little snacks?
It's these fucking things right here. I'll show you right now. Here. Let's try one.
And is this...
You're promoting this on your site. You should try that and tell me if you like it.
Barbecue bites.
Yeah, barbecue. They look good, right? Little pretzel bites. Try one.
No, I don't want to open it.
No, open it.
Why?
Just fucking open it.
I don't want to eat your food. No. So what do you do? Eat like these things like every 2 hours or something?
What do you mean?
They're pretty good. What are these like high fiber...
You say those are pretty good?
Yeah.
Are you fucking out of your mind? What do you eat?
I mean, they're not.
Would they raise you? Were you raised in the jungle?
I mean, they're not. I don't know. They're not delicious, but they're okay.
It's like fucking styrofoam with barbecue dust sprinkled on it.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
So why did you decide to do one of these kind of like packaged diet plans as opposed to, I don't know, something more organic?
Because I quit smoking. It's been over a month.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. That's, yeah, last time you were here, we were fucking smoking up a
nuts.
Storm.
Yeah,
right?
You were.
Yeah, I was on O&A one day, and Norton was talking, and he had quit smoking. And I was coughing and fucking heaving. I was passing out in the morning almost. So I was coughing so hard.
Yeah.
Not sleeping through the night. And, you know, I was just like, fuck it, I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Norton helped me out a lot, too. Beyond, you know, Norton's a fucking ball buster, but he helped me out a lot. He was, you know, he was kind of, you know, because the anger sets in.
Yeah.
What happens when you don't smoke, the anxiety... There's nowhere for it to go. And I also, then I, 3 weeks in, I was like, I'm going to get fat. I ate whatever I wanted for 3 weeks, and I was gaining some serious, I was already overweight, chunky again, but I was still in the limits of okay. You know what I mean? I got to the point in those 3 weeks where it was bad.
Yeah.
It was really bad. Like, and I was like, fuck it. I'm going to quit this too. And my one of my guys over at Apostle, Serpico, you know Jim, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was said, dude, I did this. He was never fat, but he had a little weight he wanted to lose. This diet is for people who are getting, what is it? That band surgery or whatever, they're cutting the stomach up.
Oh, really?
What is that called again?
Gastric bypass?
Gastric bypass surgery. Yeah. This diet was invented for them.
Okay.
So, I you know, it's easy because you have these little meals. So it's good when you go on the road.
Yeah.
It's good, but it sucks. I haven't been on the road.
Yeah.
So I've been home. So it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, fuck, I'm watching my wife eat great meals, and I'm fucking sitting here with a brownie that I made in 30 seconds in a microwave like a fucking 12-year-old girl in the Easy Bake oven, and it tastes like dog shit.
So how long is it? Like, how long do you are you on this? Or is it-
I'm going to do it a month, and then I'm going to just go to the shakes and bars for breakfast and lunch.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then fucking have a dinner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I'll figure it out.
And are you working out at all? Or you
not yet? I'm going to start working out because that's the thing, is the aggression.
Yeah.
Is coming in now, and I'm snapping.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Like I mean, I've never been a smoker, but you know, my mom is a lifetime smoker. She still smokes, so I get it. I can't even imagine just stopping smoking and trying to be sane.
Stop smoking and stop eating the two things that took my anxiety away are gone.
Yeah. And when I saw you the other night and you said, I knew you had quit smoking, but I didn't know you were also like on a crazy diet. So, and I was like, are you crazy?
Yeah. I saw you at the Marc Maron.
Indeed.
Which I always pop into you. Out of all the guys, well, I shouldn't say that. A lot of the other people were there, mm-hmm. you know. But I always see you at the events, the big ones.
Yeah, I try to, you know, because I am married and I now have two kids. My, you know, I'm not on the scene, you know, like every night of the week. So
can you say that again, just the way you just said
on the scene.
Yeah,
you know, I can't, nor do I really want to hang out at clubs, you know, every night of the week. So when I do go to things, it's my decisions are very planned and surgical, if you will. You know, I'll go to something that I know is going to, you know, like an event like that, or you know, where I know I'll see people and be able to say hi and check in with, you know, industry folks, or you know, get a lot out of one trip as opposed to you know, just going to the cellar and hanging out for 4 hours, and you know, I mean, well, which is fun, but I just can't do it.
The Marc Maron thing was really fun.
Yeah,
I mean, for you guys who don't know, is the television
New York television festival, something or other,
and Maron's pilot that he made with Apostle actually. Mm-hmm. And Serpico was there, premiering there. It was fucking hilarious. I loved it.
It was good. It was actually, I mean, I'm a big Maron fan. It was actually better than I thought it was going to be. I thought I was going to see it and say, like, yeah, this is pretty good. But he can act. He can act a little. And I thought it was really well done.
I thought it was really well done, too. I thought that, I thought it was, you know, was it one of the kids compared it to Louis?
Oh yeah,
which really fucked him up.
Yeah,
but he wasn't comparing it to Louis. He was saying the style that they were shooting it in.
Yeah,
which actually has been done for years. I mean, they did that. I mean, the Larry David show.
Yeah.
Same shit.
Curb
is the same. Sandler's show.
Larry Sanders.
Sanders is the same. They've been doing that shit for years.
Yeah, I think Mark maybe took that a little too.
Which was beautiful. Because the kid looked like a young Louis. He looked like a young Louis, just a redhead.
And he wasn't, it was weird because we were sitting right in front of him and I was looking at him and he was just stone-faced.
He didn't get one. Mark was going off on a rant, trying to be Mark, being funny.
Yeah.
This kid was staring at him like he was going to rip his fucking eyeballs out.
Yeah.
And didn't get it. And Mark wouldn't let it go. Mark, for the rest of the question and answer, kept going back to him like, are we cool?
Yeah.
Which was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, that's Mark's MO.
Yeah.
Attack, then apologize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's usually, that was my MO, too, for the last fucking 3 weeks. I almost got into a fight Friday night. Two fights with two different guys.
Like a physical fight?
Yeah.
Why? What happened?
But, here's the thing, too. My anger is attached to my old bot, like when I was a kid. When that's what you did. You just fought.
Right.
You know. Your anger and rage and hurt feelings and all that shit was attached to fighting.
Yeah.
So when somebody disrespected you, or you felt like you were being made fun of, or somebody fucked with you, you fought them. or you got your ass beat by them. Either or. So I've never kind of let go of that. That's always been attached. My anger and hurt feelings, with, you know, whatever the, you know, how gay that sounds, that's what anger is.
Sure.
Is just being hurt.
Yeah.
And that's attached to, you know, that fucking rage, which is attached to fighting, which any fight I've ever been in, I've always felt like shit. Mm-hmm. Whether I won or lost, I felt like shit after.
Right.
Because that's not in my heart. I'm not I don't like to hurt people at all. But I've been fucked so much. Like a lot of people that you retaliate. You become a fucking, you know, you fucking retaliate.
Yeah.
Way over the top. Because that's what... That's how... The only way you get these... It's like your bark has to be loud.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And sometimes you bite a lot. Mm-hmm. So I was getting into a cab and a guy was coming up. I was waiting for the people to get out of the cab. Friday night. And I almost fought the fucking two people. It was fucking stupid. And it's like this... It's this rage. And it's like, dude, you hit one person, you're fucking done. You can go to jail.
Absolutely.
You could kill them. You could get killed. My wife's a fucking widow. You know, all the fucking cunts on Twitter that hate me would be happy, which would make me even sicker. I fucking hate them.
People hate you? Come on.
Yeah, dude. Well, you know, it's you know, I was talking to Dane about this, and you know, he would always be like, dude, what the fuck? What the fuck? Because you want everybody to like you.
Yeah.
When I first went to the AA, that was the... Even in AA, they have these... You have a... I don't know. Almost like a celebrity thing. You know, when you speak.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when people like hearing you speak. Like, oh, I love hearing you speak. So there's certain guys that are famous in, like, AA rooms.
Right.
Like that, oh, my God, he's the best. And it makes you feel like shit. You know what I mean? A little bit. That when, you know, when they like him more, it's weird. It's a weird, almost like show busy thing in AA.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And like you'll speak and people are like, wow. But then there'll be that one guy who doesn't like you. Like the whole room, you're up there talking about your life and people are laughing and crying. And, you know, I think that's kind of where I got over my stage fright for comedy, to be honest with you, is AA.
Really?
How fucked up that is. Yeah, because I was in AA fucking... You know, when I started when I was 15.
Yeah.
And I remember people didn't like me, and I would be like, what the fuck? Why doesn't that guy like me? There's people that just don't like you.
Yeah.
That's it. There's people that don't like your fucking magazine.
Sure.
Why?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I don't know.
Exactly.
It's how you can't think about it. I mean, that's why I can never be a comedian.
Well, haven't you gotten hate mail? For the magazine?
Every once in a while I get something, but not too much. Hmm. I try not to. That's how scared I am, though. I try not to do anything to piss too many people off.
Really?
Because I mean, in you know, in what I do, you know, I'm trying to please as many people as possible. It's not like I'm a comedian and I'm, you know, I'm trying to please people. So, you know. I don't do anything. We don't post anything that's kind of
controversial.
Too controversial. Yeah.
You don't want to. You're not out to make people's lives. You're not out to fucking.
No.
You're neutral.
We try to be as neutral as possible.
You know, God hates neutral people, right?
God hates neutral.
It's in the Bible.
I'm not worried about God hating me.
It's in the Bible.
Okay.
God hates you.
All right.
My God. My God, I don't know about your God.
My God, probably, I don't know. Do I have a God? Who knows? Is there a God?
Do you believe in God?
I don't know.
You really? Really?
I have no idea.
What is up with fucking, why are all creative people, is it because we're more evolved, or a lot of creative people don't believe in God?
I don't know. I don't know.
Especially comics.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
It's great interview. Jesus Christ. If I said this on one of your interviews, you'd be like, come on, think of something.
There's...
You didn't pray to God when you were having your baby?
No.
Wow.
No.
Is your wife religious?
No.
Is your kid's going to be religious?
No. I mean, I don't. It's so far, it's not looking that way. You know, we didn't even. You know, we were both raised Catholic, which means when we had our first kid, who's now almost three, we should have, you know, baptized him, but we never baptized him. Because we don't, I mean, we don't go to church. We don't believe in organized religion. We think it's bullshit. And so why are we going to go through, you know, the motions of, you know, baptizing our kid? It's just hypocritical. Like, we don't believe in any of it. So why are we going to do it?
That's not that neutral. That's pretty fucking edgy what you just said right there.
Well, yeah, but I'm not
editor in chief of laughspin.com.
I'm not going to write it on the site.
I look at your face.
I mean, I might be, you know, who knows?
Your face is going, oh shit, did I just say that?
I might be losing some Midwest readers.
That's what I don't get is that people who are believe in God won't let people not believe in God. It's like, dude, I'll let you believe in God. I'll let you believe in a fucking bearded figure in the clouds. I won't give you shit about it. I'll let you believe in, you know, whatever the fuck you want. Yeah. I don't care if it's fucking, you know, Moses or Abraham or fucking Allah. I don't give a shit. Believe whatever you want. Fucking. But why can't you not let me not believe?
Right. Well, that's where it gets. Yeah, that's where it gets ridiculous, where, like, you know, fundamental Christians are trying to, you know, convert. I mean, I'd imagine 90% of Christians out there are normal people who just believe in what they want to believe because they find comfort in it, and that's great. But then there's, you know, a small group of fundamentals that feel that it's their job, their duty to, you know, spread the word and convert people. You know,
and now he's back to being neutral.
And that's just no. I mean, that's just horseshit.
You, like, just fucking painted the line, baby.
I mean, you know,
I'm sure there's a couple people out there that are fine, but most of them are nice
well,
people.
Well, it's true. You don't want to.
No,
you know,
it's not. They're all fucking lunatics.
It's same thing with, you know, Islam. You know, it's the same thing with that. You don't want to. You know, everyone's not crazy. It's the, you know, it's the extremists. It's the people that, you know, take it too far, or you know. Take the Bible too literally and all that other crap. I don't have time for it.
Well, that's the thing one of the reasons why I quit smoking and I quit eating shitty is sacrifice. I don't sacrifice enough because of where I'm at in the business. You know, I'm not fucking famous. I'm not Louis C.K. Mm-hmm. But I'm not an open micer either. I have money. I have money to live. I have my own place in Manhattan. I do what I want. I go where I want. I have fun. I enjoy my life. I do comedy. You know, I don't have a million fans, but I have a few fans that enjoy my shit.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, if it becomes, you know, more, great. But here's the problem is that you get to a point in life where you do have a job, you're all making money, and you got a house, and you got a wife, and you got to, you know, watching movies, and you're eating what you want, and, you know, watching what you want on TV, and you're doing your job, and then you're not really sacrificing anything. And then I looked at these religions, and I was like, you know, like the Jewish religion, you know, and they can't use electricity after fucking sundown, and then Lent, and then, you know, even Muslims, you know, they sacrifice. I mean, to the extreme.
Yeah.
But they'll sacrifice, and I'm like, I don't. I think sacrifice is good. I think it's good. I think it, you know, it teaches you how to. It's painful. It's physically and mentally painful.
Yeah.
To not do something that you enjoyable, that, like smoking or eating.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Right. But why? So why is that? Why is sacrificing good? Why is it important to be in pain?
Because I think to challenge yourself, to tell yourself, to say no to yourself. And I know this is just awful at 40 that I'm actually fucking learning this. But to say no to yourself is probably one of the greatest powers that you possess. I don't know if that's too deep. I think be able to say no to yourself. And I'm not saying I can. in every aspect. But I always admired people who, you know, when I was a creep, like, dude, let's go. We'll get a fuck. We'll go to one of these massage parlors. And it's like, you know, no. What do you mean, no, dude? It's fucking awesome. You go in, the fucking chick takes you, she scrubs you down at $60 and washes your asshole and puts you in a room and gives you a great massage. At the end, they flip you over and they'll tickle your ass crack and you taint and fucking jerk you off and clean it up. And no. Why? I just don't want to do that, man. I mean, yeah, it sounds great, but I'm not going to do that. It's like, how the fuck do you do that?
Yeah.
How do you fucking say no to that?
Yeah, I. And so you admire that.
I think that there's, you know, I don't think everybody possesses that power, but I think people falter on different levels on it too. I know people who can say no to this, this, and this, but when it comes to this, right. And you know, that's why I love finding out when people, and you must find that out doing this, that people are human, that these cocksuckers, all these famous people that you interview,
yeah.
Are fucked up. They do. There's some fucked up things. I'm not asking you to name names because I know you're neutral and you don't believe in God. But
yeah, I mean, you know, that's part of the reason. You know, that's why I'm so attracted to, you know, doing what I do and in interviewing comedians because, you know, every comedian, you know, listen, comedians are comedians for a reason, and most of them are not what you'd consider, you know. In a traditional sense, you know, well adjusted. Hmm. But I'm not attracted to well adjusted people. I'm married to a very well adjusted person, and that's great. That's important. I could never be married to somebody who's hyper creative or an artist because you know, there's you need somebody in the relationship that's that's, you know, just a little more stable. But yeah, I mean, comedians are. They're damaged, but I feel like the thing about comedians is they're damaged, and they know they're damaged, and they accept it, and they deal with it, and they talk about it on stage, and that to me is so that's attractive to me. I really appreciate that. I think most people are damaged, but the difference between most people and comedians are a lot more self-aware than. You know, the average person on the street who, you know, doesn't know that they need to go to therapy or thinks, you know, everything's okay when things aren't okay. I think comedians are more in touch with, you know, their shortcomings and they deal with them.
Well, I think that they're more in touch with them. I don't believe that they deal with them.
No.
I mean, I would say it goes in cycles.
Yeah.
You know, look, I go to the comic therapist.
Yeah.
Alan. There's a therapist for those of you motherfuckers who don't know here on the East Coast. I don't know who's on the West Coast. But here on the East Coast, there's a, in the New York City, there's a, I was referred to him by Dustin Chafin. I was going through a hard time. I was going to an analyst, to some fucking douche with a bow tie.
Yeah.
And real expensive, and it just wasn't working.
Yeah.
And I talked to Dustin. He was like, I go to this guy. And he works on a scale. It's not about the money.
Right.
It's about getting better.
Yeah.
But it just so happens he works with all comics.
Yeah.
And I've been going to him for 5 years, maybe more. And there's a lot of comics that go. It's funny. I won't let them make me cry the last 10 minutes because I'm not walking out and seeing fucking right. Lampanelli in the hallway or, you know, fucking, you know, Florentine or Gullman, you know. but I think there's a lot of guys that are still fucking damaged. I mean, I don't think they're, you know, I mean, come on. You know, they're just the guy... It's. I was having this conversation with somebody though. There's something about being fucked up, and I'm gonna say it, being evil, mm-hmm. not a good person.
Yeah.
That goes into being famous. I mean,
really?
Yeah. I mean, look, every famous person out there. I guarantee you has stories. There's people around them have stories of what a fucking dick they are.
Yeah, but I mean, wouldn't that be the case with even non-famous people? I mean, I'm sure depending on who you ask and at what point that person, you know, knew the other person.
I hear what you're saying.
People probably could, there's somebody out there that probably could say that you're an evil asshole, right?
It's a very, but here's the thing is that people can say, you know what I get a lot is, dude, you're a really nice guy.
Yeah.
Like they think I have the appearance and maybe the reputation of that I'm a fucking dick or I'm an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not. You know, no. Actually, fucking nice guy. As long as you're not a fucking shit dick to me, I'm fucking cool to you. As long as you're not a fucking idiot to me,
yeah,
I'm cool to you. But there's some people out there. I think that there is some. There has to be some evil in you to make the decisions that you're going to have to make to fuck the people you're going to have to fuck to go to the next level.
Yeah.
It's just you have that, like, I know you, Dylan.
Yes.
I'm friends with you.
Yes.
If I become hugely successful tomorrow, I wouldn't be able to not keep that friendship. I wouldn't be able to blow you the fuck off and never talk to you again. Okay. Do you understand?
Yeah, I mean,
I think there's certain level of fame where people can do that. I think not all of them. I don't say you have to be evil to be famous.
Right.
But I think there's a certain thing inside of you that you have to, that has to be tunnel vision.
Yeah. But I mean, if you were put in that position, I mean, not that, I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but let's just say that for whatever reason, you had to kind of blow me off to, you know, as a byproduct of you getting to the next level.
Yep.
Like I don't know that I would blame you for that.
Okay. And okay, that's good for you. But as far as there's something about people who are just selfish. You have to be. I think there's a selfish, me first always, and there has to be a disconnect of some sort in you. It's like the jackass guys.
Mm-hmm.
There's something disconnected from them as far as being in public and being able to do what they do.
Yeah.
Going up to a total stranger and committing to what they commit to.
Yeah.
There's something in their brain that isn't connected, connected to you.
They're fucking sociopaths, yeah.
Yeah, they're right. But it's hilarious.
Yeah.
The product that they put out there is fucking awesome.
Yeah, I guess.
But the reason why it's awesome is because we can't do it.
Right.
We don't have the ability to disconnect.
Right.
And some people have it, but they disconnect too much where they hurt people.
Yeah.
Where it's not funny. They have the ability to do it and fucking in the right way for what they need to do.
Yeah.
Right? I don't have that in me. I can't walk out in the street and do that fucked up shit.
Right.
I just don't have. Some people do it. It's the same thing. There's certain parts of your brain, or I think that you, I mean, you haven't met famous people that have done some fucked up shit.
I mean, not that I know of. I've met.
I want to throw this glass right across your fucking head.
I mean,
you say, "Oh, there's no God. You have no problem fucking throwing God out the fucking window, but you can't throw fucking Jim Gaffigan." No, I'm just kidding. You can't throw, like, I mean, I'm saying put name names, but. I mean,
I don't, you know, when I talk to these people, I don't get into, you know, all the horrible things they've done. The first time I interviewed Louis C.K. Years ago, before his HBO show premiered, yeah. he told me about, like, getting thrown in jail and stuff like that. So I don't know. I don't know if that makes him evil.
No, that's not.
But different. I mean, I never had a comedian admit that they've done horrible things. You know,
I'm not saying horrible. I think you're taking it out of context.
Okay.
I'm saying, like, horrible to me is like if I walk by you at an event and just ignored you.
Yeah,
that's kind of shitty.
It's
shit.
It is.
It's like,
But also at the same time, it just depends on the reason you're ignoring me. Maybe you're ignoring me because. No, listen, maybe you're ignoring me because you don't feel like making small talk, or you're just, you know, in a crappy mood. Like,
do you understand? Listen to me. You sound like my fucking therapist, Dylan. Go fuck yourself. Do you understand? You're the guy that you don't want in the room when you want to talk shit about somebody.
No, you're that's absolutely true.
You're the guy when that guy walks by and I go, oh, that fucking dickhead. And you're like, why?
He's a
fucking dickhead. Yeah, but maybe he did. Yeah, but dude, he did this. He fucked my wife. I caught him finger fucking my wife in the closet. And my wife thought it was me because he had the same. Yeah, but maybe.
No.
Maybe he wasn't finger fucking your wife because he was trying to be mean. Maybe his finger was on fire and he had to put it out. And the only way to put it out was in your wife's vagina. Fuck, Dylan, come on.
It's just that's. I mean, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, once you would tell me about the finger fucking, I would be back. I would be on your side. But yeah, I am. You're right. I'm not the type to talk shit, because I always feel like, you know, somebody out there, you know, might be talking shit about me, and they don't know the whole story, and they don't know, you know. I mean, sometimes I walk into a room or an event, and I see somebody and. I have nothing against them, or I like that person, but for whatever reason, I just don't have it in me to chat. And I don't think that's evil. I think that's me being insecure. I think that's me being shy.
If you ever do that to me, I'll fucking kill you.
Well, now I won't. I won't do it to you because I.
Oh, here's the thing. I think it is. I blame a lot of. I tend to say blame yourself first.
Yeah.
On every situation, if you can go and say, "What did I do wrong? What did you do wrong? Whatever situation it was, that's how you grow. Yeah. That's how you become a better human being. But there are certain situations where, I mean, I know. I mean, there are little things that people do. I think you people want to be famous so bad, so fucking bad. And they don't care what they have to do to get there.
Yeah.
I do.
Okay.
And I know other comics that do too.
Well, that's good.
And sometimes in my career now, I know I can see it. It's almost like the movie They Live. I have the glasses to be able to see these people.
I don't know that movie.
That you never saw They Live with Rowdy Roddy Piper?
No.
The whole concept of the movie is this. There's aliens everywhere. We didn't know it.
Uh-huh.
And there's these sunglasses that you put on, and it allows you to see the aliens.
Okay.
He's just this dude. He winds a construction worker. He's on, you know, fucking, you know, a Bill Bixby type traveling. He gets a pair of these sunglasses. He's all of a sudden, he's in the supermarket, and he sees that he's surrounded by aliens. Not everybody's an alien, but most of the people are aliens.
Right.
And they know that they know that he knows.
Okay.
So they're out to get him.
Okay.
I have those sunglasses in real life, and I can see, I know who the fame fuckers are.
Okay.
In this business. Before, when I was younger in the business, I just thought people were assholes and scumbags. But now that I can see who these people are, I get it. You want to be famous. You doesn't matter what you do to get there, yeah. Who you have to fuck to get there,
yeah.
What evil shit you have to do sociably. I'm not talking killing babies.
Yeah, I was just gonna ask.
I'm not talking killing. I'm what is, sociably.
What is evil? What do you consider evil?
Okay, when I think that, and you know, when somebody, if I come up to you and I'm friends with you,
yeah.
Because you're Dylan from laughspin.com. Like that plug? Or I threw that in there?
Nice.
The greatest online fucking comedy
site. Keep going.
Site.
Keep going.
It's magazine.
Nice.
Out there.
Yes.
Next to... No, I'm kidding. Stop there. So, I'm getting in with you because of who you are and what you can do for me.
Okay.
Right? And then we become friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, you do a bunch of shit for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as I pass you or become more famous or I don't need you, I just fucking dump you and don't talk to you. When you do sociable fucked up things, when you...
Wait, can I stop you?
Yeah.
When you say dump me, what's the definition of...
I don't fucking talk to you again. I don't even
I text you and you don't text me back.
Yeah, fuck
or...
you. Yeah. Like, yeah, hey, man, I'm going over to do that thing that you said you wanted to do and you never hear from me again.
Okay. Okay.
That's kind of fucking douchey.
Right.
If I show up at a club and, you know, if I just, you know, walk in and I'm supposed to go last, and you're supposed to go, you know, you're going first. Mm-hmm. And I switch that. I somehow go behind your back and get them to put me mm-hmm. first, because I don't want to have the last spot, because I'd rather have you bomb right. than me bomb in front of the industry people that are there.
Got it. Okay.
And oh fuck. And it works. You go up first and you kill. It was a great spot.
Right.
And now I'm last because I'm a nice person and I go, all right, fuck it. I'll just do it. I'll right. go last. And now I bomb because the guy before me and the crowd and everybody left.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get, you got the fucking Tonight Show and I didn't get shit.
Yeah.
And I, because I'm a nice person. And you're a fucking evil manipulator that wants fame and knows how to get it. If I go here, I'm not going to get it. If I go here, I'm definitely going to get it. Let me, hey, do you mind if I, because I have a spot and I have to, all right, I guess, thank you. And then you let them and they get it. And then you find out they're out front talking to the Tonight Show people. They didn't have a spot.
Right.
They didn't have to be anywhere. They just wanted what you had.
Right.
That's fucking evil, Dylan.
Yeah. All right. I'm with you.
That's fucking evil.
Okay.
And that happens all the fucking time.
It does.
All the fucking time.
Okay.
So that's, if I don't have that bone in me.
I
so if
you.
I show up at the club and I'm on last and I see that this guy's on first, do I want to go first? Yeah, I do. I do. I remember one night I was at a fucking event and They were like, hey, if you want to go earlier, I was like, yeah, fuck it. And then I found out, I don't forget who it was. Somebody was coming down, and it was a young kid, and somebody was like, oh, this kid's awesome, funny. I was like, I don't feel like fucking, you know what, let me go on next. I don't want to, I just want to get out of here.
Right.
I didn't have to go on next. I could have went on last.
Right.
But I chose to, and I still feel like shit about that.
Yeah.
I should have just shut my fat face and went on last.
Yeah.
Like I said I was gonna. But you know, people do that shit all the fucking time, and you have to have a disconnect. You have to not care about anybody or anything but yourself.
Yeah.
And I know Colin doesn't have that bone in his body.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tough Crowd would have still been on the air if he gave a shit just about himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. If he cared about money and fame, it would have still been on the air, because he would have fucking did whatever the fuck he had to do for himself.
Right.
He didn't. He stuck up for the fucking fans of the show, the fucking comics around him. What the fuck have they done for him? Seriously. Since the show.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, what you're saying is probably true. You're right. There needs to be that a little bit of a disconnect. Yeah.
A little bit of evil.
You need to, yeah.
You need
to be able to rationalize some of the things you do and say to yourself, well, I'm doing this, you know, for the betterment of myself, for the betterment of my family, if I have a family.
Do you have that in you?
I mean, I don't think so. I don't think I do. But it's hard to judge yourself. I mean, I could sit here and say, you know, I work hard. I try to be honest. I try to please people. I'll obviously do things, you know, to give me, you know, the best possible chance at succeeding, but I don't think, you know, I think I'm fair. I don't think I've screwed anybody. I definitely care what people think about me, and so I don't think I have that disconnect where I could go out and do things that are, you know, things that you would define as evil to get ahead. I definitely give a shit what people think about me. I definitely don't want, you know, people to think that I'm an asshole or mean or unfair.
You care what people think of you.
I do. I care what people think about me. Yeah, and that might be the main motivation as to why I, you know, try to do things on the straight and narrow.
I think that's I think that's good. And when I say evil, too, with these people, the one thing, too, that people forget, like people, oh, this guy's a dick, or he did that to me, or he fucking fucked me here, and these people are dicks.
Yeah.
But what these people also do, most of them that are successful, it's not, you don't, I think I say you need evil, a little bit of evil. You need a little bit of dick.
Yeah.
You need a little fuck, you know, that sociopath thing. But you also need the work. These people, that's one thing that I've realized too, is that these people do, for the majority of them, the work.
Yeah.
Which is the first and foremost. If you don't have the work, there's the occasional douche that slips by and gets famous on some just pure evil.
Yeah.
Pure ass kissing, pure fucking ass kissing horse shit. But those things fucking fail.
Yeah.
Thank God they fucking fail.
Eventually they fail.
Eventually they'll fucking, you'll see them in the middle of the country, you know, with a huge house going, what the fuck happened?
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, just not just evil. I think you need a little evil. You need the work to become famous. And that's why inside I'm like, dude, I'd love to, you know, I give a shit what my fans think.
Yeah.
I care. I'd love to be able to not give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Fuck, I don't even listen to them. Yeah. But I care about the ones that give a shit about me. Sure. I had a guy give me shit one time because I kind of got a little choked up in Boston when I sold a lot of these tickets to a show. And I mean, all these fans came out and saw me at the Wilbur. And
yeah.
And the guy, I remember reading, he was like, yeah, it was a great show until he got fucking weirded everybody out at the end when he fucking got kind of emotional. And it's like, wow, man, you don't get it.
Yeah.
You don't get, I get, all right, I'm a fag, but I'm a fucking nobody. You know what I mean? I don't think I'm a somebody.
Yeah.
And you guys all came out to see me at my hometown. Thank you.
Yeah.
That fucks people up, man.
Well, whoever that person was, that's a person who's afraid, scared, shitless of their own feelings and their own emotions,
yeah.
And they get scared when, God forbid, they feel something,
yeah,
and that scares them, and they don't want to feel that. So what they do is they attack the person who's bringing those feelings out,
yeah.
Like, oh, he got all weird at the end. Like, what do you mean he got weird? He was just being sincere and saying thanks. What's so weird about that?
Yeah. Well, it's like, you
know, people are scared of that.
When I met you, mm-hmm. and my CD first came out, and you actually, you know, I told you I don't have a birthday party. I never have a birthday party.
Yeah.
You know, DeRosa throws a fucking birthday party for himself every year. Were you invited this year?
I was not.
Oh, really?
I think I might. When's his birthday?
It was already passed. You missed it.
Fucker. So. Well, no, I wasn't invited.
A lot of important people went.
Next year.
Yeah, next year you'll probably be invited. But, you know, you actually brought me a cake with my CD cover on it. Which fucking I was like, holy shit. That's why I love people from Canada. I told it to Colin Quinn today. I was like, dude, I love Canadian people. You know why? Because they're just nice.
Yeah, huh?
And they don't, it's just, hey, you know, you who gives a shit? Hey, how are you? Why are you calling me? Just to see how you are. What? You know, my phone doesn't ring without a question or a fucking demand.
Yeah.
What's up, Bobby? How you doing? Nah, just get to it. I literally could just say that to every friend of mine.
Yeah.
Just get to it. What do you need? All right, well, I need you to fucking, or can you fucking, that's all it is. Never. Only Colin. Colin will call me. What are you doing? Nothing. What are you doing? And we'll talk and just shoot the shit.
Yeah.
That's about it. Sometimes Dane, too.
Yeah.
But we don't talk as much as we used to. But sometimes Dane. And that's
about it. As far as I can tell, Colin Quinn is one of the sweetest guys. I only interviewed him once, but it seems like every comedian I talk to says how nice Colin is.
He's the nicest guy, man. He's in that could be. I mean, that's why people love him.
Yeah,
and you know, he's just a rare fucking breed.
Yeah.
But, you know, I love him, too, because he'll fucking knock somebody out, too. He's got anger. He's, like, 10 years ahead of me in the anger.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you know he knows exactly what I go through. When I almost got into the fight last week with these two guys,
yeah,
over a cab, he knew exactly where he's been there.
Yeah,
and you know he can. Yeah, you don't want to do that shit. Yeah, I. You know, I had to leave the cell the other night. You know, I get mad at people, especially with the non-smoking and the fucking. It's a little rough, but
yeah.
Well, you've never fought anybody, right?
I've no. No.
Cross your arms over your breasts because you're cold.
I think maybe once in grade school.
Oh, right.
You know, I got into a pushing match, but I can't remember any physical fights now.
Did you, now, you guys, the last time we talked,
yeah,
we was before Montreal.
Yes, indeed.
And you had somebody up at Montreal.
Indeed.
Covering the event.
Yep.
And they did not cover us.
Correct. Can't be everywhere, Bobby.
Oh, no. Apparently, you were there.
Huh?
No, they were there.
What do you mean?
You can be, listen, you're right. You can't be everywhere, but we had just 17 shows. So you could have been at one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we could have.
Yeah. Who was that person? Was it one person?
It was. I only had one person up there, yeah.
A girl?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, she did a great job.
Well, I don't know if it was a girl. I would say it was a good job. I don't know if it'd be a great job.
Because we didn't cover your show?
What the fuck? I told you we're going to be up there. Me, Joe, Billy.
But here's the thing. When you go to Montreal, the thing about covering Montreal is there is you have to this is just me talking as an editor. You have to cover the things that are unique to hold on. Don't get upset. It's unique to Montreal. So, yes, is a show with you and Joe, Bill, a cool thing to go to. Yes, but we could see you guys.
No,
in the
you
city.
Can't. No, you can't.
Of course, we
not
can.
That show. We wrote that show for Montreal. It was fuck. It was called Cheat Live.
I know.
It was. We had a video that we made before it. It was at a tranny bar.
Yeah, I know.
It was us three doing this show that we wrote for that thing that we might never do again. And you know. It was one of the fucking best shows of the festival. Did you hear that?
I didn't hear that, but I believe you.
Oh my god, you almost made me spit water all over my computer.
You know, it's hard. You only have one.
Would you fucking cover the mime show? The
no.
Fucking two guitarists with a beard.
Who did you cover? I don't even know what you're talking about.
That you guys covered all the galas.
No, not at all. That's something we covered one gala, and that's something
I was on that gala.
That's right, you were.
Yeah.
So what are you complaining about? You got some ink.
I got a very little. Not even. I didn't get. I think. Well, I it was not a lot.
The other thing is this. If we, you know,
is she a Canadian reporter? No. She's from here.
Yeah.
I don't think she.
She
likes
lives
me.
In Austin.
I don't think she likes me.
She likes you.
I don't think she.
In
likes
fact,
me.
I told her to if she saw you to say hi.
She didn't.
Okay. Well, she probably didn't see you walking around. Anyway. I don't love covering the gala. I covered one gala, like you said,
uh-huh.
Because I mean the galas are really just a big show with a lot of big comedians. Again, right. Same thing. Like, what am I going to say about? You know,
I'll tell you what. The gala for me this year, and it should have. You know, again, it's 10 minutes or 8 minutes or whatever the fuck it is of
yeah.
And it was themed and
right.
I just and the lights are all on, you know. It's just, and you know who didn't give a shit? You know who fucking killed it on my game? Bob Marley. Bob Marley went up and didn't give a fucking rat's twat and killed it.
Yeah,
just went up and fucking annihilated. I went up and did better than the gala I did before.
Yeah.
But those galas, I just can't get them, dude. I can't. I just don't. I don't. And then I'm doing my show over at the other place. I'm killing it.
Yeah.
I'm having a fucking blast.
Yeah.
Just having fun. And the gala is just something that sucks it out of me.
Yeah.
When people say you can't do what you do, I've been in front of 19,000 people.
Yeah.
I've done, you know, what I don't give a fuck where you put me. I've done Comics Come Home in front of 6,000. I've done The Garden, Boston, and New York. I've every arena. I've been in O&A crowds. Something about when TV says, don't be you.
Yeah.
Something happens to me.
It's hard. Yeah. It, you know, once, you know, there's parameters put on, you know, what you usually do. It's hard.
That's what, you know, I mean, you may not like fucking joke writer comics, but I do give them credit. On TV, they come across the best.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Just da-dum, bump, bump, da-dum, bump, bump, da-dum, bump, bump, da-dum, bump, bump. I mean, you can hear that tone. You can hear, if you, so I went over to the blah, and blah, 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 and she blah, blah, blah. Hmm. Yeah. And then I went over to the blah, and she blah, 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 and
Right.
And blah, blah, blah. So, you blah, blah, blah. You know, you can hear that shit.
Yeah.
Oh, my fucking phone fell.
Come on. Let me ask you this.
Yes.
What is your favorite comedy?
My favorite
style of comedy. Do you have one? And yeah. I know you're neutral and you don't want to fucking...
I have opinions. I have opinions. You're making me out to be some kind of, I don't know, mushy vanilla person. But
yeah, I don't think you're mushy and vanilla at all. But you, I think you are a little mushy.
Yeah, I mean, the type of comedy I'm most attracted to are...
Gay comedy.
Are what?
Gay comics.
Gay comics, absolutely. are, you know, people like, you know, my top three comics for a long time were, you know, Geraldo, Marin, Greg Proops, you know, those type of guys, Stanhope, Jim Norton. I mean, the type of guys that, I mean, those are the people that I'm most passionate about. Because they are, they're the type of comedians who are on the surface very volatile or angry or passionate, but there's always this kind of this underwriting. What do you call it? This sensitivity under everything, you know. And I get that a lot from your newer stuff. So those are the type of comics that I'm most passionate about.
Right.
But, you know, I also love, you know, guys like Brian Regan, you know, kind of palate cleansing comics. You know, sometimes it's like music. You know, sometimes you're not, sometimes I'm not in the mood to listen to Marin or Stanhope and, you know, and get ultra deep and angry. And, you know, I need to listen to somebody like Brian Regan or Dane. You know, I find Dane funny. Like, people are going to hear that and like get angry at me because God forbid I find Dane Cook funny, but I fucking do.
Is that amazing that people say he's not funny?
Yeah, because people are assholes. Like, people just jump on a bandwagon, and all of a sudden, you know, they hear somebody say something about somebody, and they hear it enough, they start to believe it, or they think they want to believe it, and then they just start attacking. Like, you know, Dane doesn't write jokes. He doesn't... No, there's a lot of fucking people that don't write jokes and are hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, he's not a joke guy. I don't know.
He's what he is.
He's what he is, and he's...
He created almost a style of comedy that people...
And why isn't he funny? Because he's animated on stage. They take that, and they're like, oh, all he does is gyrate on stage. No, that's part of what he does.
Well, here's the thing. If all you did was gyrate on stage, you wouldn't get laughs.
Right.
You actually have to communicate a thought to get a laugh. Yeah. And how you communicate that... is what people have a problem with. You should communicate it with just words and, you know, in a smart way and fucking that people didn't expect.
Right.
To communicate the funny thought that you had.
Right.
You know, you can just stand there and deliver.
Yeah.
But some people, like Richard Pryor was a fucking storyteller.
Yeah.
Would perform the whole thing. But just because he... was one of the first, It's not, you can't do that anymore. You can't be, you're doing prior.
Right.
It's like, well, wait a minute. Half the people out there are doing somebody.
Yeah.
You know, there is a certain turn that somebody takes when they find their voice. But if you look at the roots of what comics are, they're doing somebody.
Yeah.
They just took a turn at one point and did it a little, maybe they just did it a little more through their own fucking mouths.
Yeah.
Where it became theirs.
Yeah.
I think. But I agree with you, man. I mean, that's a good point. I think that, you know, comedy is. I that's why people, who do you hate? It's like, I don't know. How can I hate a comic?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly comedians that I don't, you know, I don't relate to, or I wouldn't, you know, seek out their material. Where, you know, I wouldn't like go listen to their stuff in the car, or, yeah, you know. But I don't know. I don't think that I hate too many comics.
It's personal. Comedy is personal. It's just like anything else. It's like you said. It's like music. And sometimes you. You want to hear some stupid shit.
Right. And that's why I don't understand, like, people who are, like, only into, like... I mean, how immature is that? How immature is it? Like, I'm only into cringe comedy, or I'm only into blue-collar comedy. Like, I find Ron White hilarious. He's fucking hilarious. Right. But I also love, you know, Doug Stanhope, who's completely different. And the two of them are friends. I know they're friends.
Yeah.
You know, I don't hate Larry the Cable Guy. I've interviewed him a bunch of times. You can't hate him. After you talk to him, you cannot hate him.
He's a great guy.
He's a good guy, and yeah, he knows he's doing an act, a character.
Right.
He never came out and said, you know, he wasn't doing a character.
He never came out and said he was.
Right.
But
that's part of the, right, you know, he's doing a character.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what works. Like, do I find his comedy engaging and fulfilling to listen to? Not really.
But sometimes it is.
But you know, sometimes,
you know, there's nothing.
You want some fart jokes, and you know, whatever. He makes a lot of people happy.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna you know, destroy him because he's not, you know, doing, you know, alternative comedy or something.
Right. Well, that's another thing though, is a lot of people hate alternative comedy.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
A lot of people are like. But here's the thing, though. I don't hate alternative comedy. I don't hate them.
Yeah.
But they hate me. Or they, not me, I wouldn't say me, but they hate, I don't think they like, they don't, I think it kind of turned around where they were the ones that were shit.
Yeah.
And they went and did their own thing. And now they don't like, you know, they kind of treat people like shit. And it's like,
I mean, do they, or is that just, well, know, perception?
I would think that would be my perception. Not, I would say not to me. I've never had a problem. But I'm not an asshole either. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, when I meet, say, an alternative comic, and I just did hand quotes. if you're not an asshole, I don't care what you do on stage.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
The only ones that I hate are the fucking, the middlers in the, when I go on the road and they think they're headliners and they have t-shirts and CDs and their last joke is the fucking t-shirt fucking joke and they roll it out and then they go out there and stand out there making money like they deserve it.
Right.
And it's like, you know, there's another way of making money, become better as a stand-up.
Yeah.
And become the headliner.
See, if you had a little evil in you, you could
tell them not to sell stuff.
That's right.
I do.
Okay.
I do.
All right.
Sometimes, but a lot of times I give in, because if the person is a good guy,
yeah,
you know, and you see fucking, you know, 9 shirts hanging in the back seat of his car and a baby seat, you're like, all right, sell your shit DVD,
right,
and your fucking dumb T-shirt, because there's some baby with a fucking messy mouth waiting for you to come home.
But see that, I mean that. You know, depending on who you talk to, might consider a request like that to be evil. But, like, to me, that's something, if I was a comic, if I was a headline, if I was in your position, that's something that I might request nicely.
What?
You know, like, hey, you know, like, or talk to the management and be like, listen, I'd rather not have the middle act, you know, selling his shit.
Dude, it's in my contract. I mean, but my fucking agency, there's no way they'd fucking ever... Right. You know, they don't enforce
you work to get
anything.
There.
I it is in my contract that there's nobody's supposed to sell shit at my shows.
All right. Well.
But no, the clubs don't look at the contracts. My agency, I literally would have to hire somebody. And I did for a little bit.
Yeah.
I hired somebody to be in between me and my agency and the clubs.
Like a road manager?
No, it was like assistant.
Yeah.
To call and go, look, nobody can sell anything.
Yeah.
So don't ask. There's no guest spots.
Right.
These are all things that I don't want that nobody gives a fuck if they happen or not.
Yeah.
And I'll show up and like, yeah, this person's doing a guest. What? Now I got to be a dickhead.
Right. And say it's in my contract. So you right. have to sound like a jerk.
I have to sound like a fucking ego fucking. And then they're like, who the fuck are you? It's almost like that's why you want to become famous. You know, people. This is another thing, too, is that people get mad because they say people become dicks when they become famous. No, I don't think so. I think some people actually just stop taking getting fucked in
that's
the
right.
ass. Some people start saying no to you.
Right.
And when they start saying fuck you, no, I don't. You do this or you're fired.
Right.
It's like they're telling you to do what you were supposed to be doing all along, but you could have told them, fuck, you don't give a shit because they ain't shit.
Right.
Now that there's actually consequences and a lot of money because these people are fucking famous, you have to do what they tell you to do, what you should have been fucking doing.
Right.
Now they're dicks.
Right.
Now they're assholes. I want a fucking car. I don't want to fucking take a... I don't want a fucking some fucking middler. Or with a shit car that I could get killed in picking me up at the airport.
Right.
I want a limo. Well, who's a diva now?
Right.
No, I'm not a fucking diva. I've wanted this for years, but I couldn't get it because I was a shit. Now that I'm fucking making these guys thousands of dollars, I want to be safe.
Right.
I want a nice hotel room.
Right.
You know, whatever it may be. I want to be able to pick who's in front of me.
Right. Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with any of that.
But
people on the outside,
yeah.
It's just easy for them to say, well, he's being a dick. I've been doing this for 15, 20 years. And you know, just like any job, you know, theoretically, you know, if you're in an office for 5, 10, 15 years, as you gain, you know, as you're there longer, better things happen. You get a raise or you get rewarded for doing it well and for doing your job for a long time. And there's no reason, you know, comedians shouldn't also get rewarded the same way, you know, people in an office get rewarded.
Yeah. It's fucking, I mean, look, it's not like an office, because an office has some sort of stability.
Yeah.
My acting teacher used to say, the fastest horse doesn't win the race.
Mm-hmm.
The best comic... Dude, I can't tell you how many times I've killed. It's done nothing for me.
Yeah.
Nothing. Billy Burr is a fucking insane comedian. You know, people took notice after he bombed and attacked Philly. People were like, holy shit. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. Really? Maybe if you listened to his set and he would have done his show, you would have realized, now that you all love him.
Yeah.
He's the same guy you booed.
Yeah.
You fucking morons.
Yeah.
I think that this business, and in Hollywood and show business, in every aspect of it, it's you have to really have your family and your close-knit friends and stick to it.
Yeah.
And then when you go out of that bubble... You can't let people in that bubble. When you go out of it, you kind of have to... It's almost like you're foraging in the wilderness. You know what I mean? And you have to be very careful. Because you'll get angry, hurt, fucking pissed off. You'll snap, hate. You can't have that... I can't have that shit in my life.
Yeah.
I can't hate people. I can't bring that shit to bed with me. I can't go to bed at night fucking hating people.
Yeah.
I just can't do it anymore. I don't believe in it.
Right.
Some people thrive on it.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
So you try to limit yourself to the
people. Well, I don't have the fucking hookers, the booze, the drugs, the food.
Yeah.
I don't have all that shit to fucking to kill those feelings at night. I can't be hanging out till 5 in the morning and the birds come up trying to fuck a, you know, Israeli broad in the East Village in her shit apartment.
That was very specific. Do you have a story about fucking an Israeli woman in the East Village?
Yeah. I do. She was awful.
Israelis are pretty hot.
She was awful.
She was awful?
Gorgeous. Gorgeous, but she was just awful sexually.
Okay.
But, you know, I actually, while she was fucking, I would get angry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fucking move your hips. What the fuck? Come on. I'd grab her and start, like, grinding my teeth. Fucking do something.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't think, shut the fuck. anyways, so I want to talk. We're going to wrap this up very short.
Okay.
This is a fucking great podcast, dude.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
I think we did awesome.
Yeah, I very interesting stuff, man. you know, it's too bad that, you know, Laugh Spin didn't, you know, get us up in Montreal. Is sad, you know, because it's probably never going to happen again. But, you know,
we'll see what we can do.
No, it's all right. You guys are, you treat us well.
Yeah, we give all you guys, and that's the other thing. If we cover you during the year, we don't want to over cover you. You know,
God forbid you guys over promote somebody. God forbid you help careers.
Mm-hmm.
You actually have a review of Joe DeRosa's CD.
Yeah, sure.
When you said you don't want to hurt people.
Yeah.
Hurt people, you really meant it.
Yeah? Why is it?
Because this review is just right down the middle.
Is it right down the middle? It should be.
I didn't even review. I just read a couple things out of it. And I just, I read a couple things out of it. And the only thing that word just jumped in my head, lies! And, but that's me. No, I'm kidding.
It was a strong album. I'd say, I'm going to go on record right now saying I don't think it was as strong as his first.
Really?
But it's a strong album.
I don't think anybody's... Look, I don't think... Shit. I think the second album... I think that first album you've been building for years.
Yeah.
I think my first album sucks. I think my first, the one that you, that's the one you listened to and reviewed, wasn't my first.
Technically the second, right?
It was my second.
Yeah.
My second hour. I think this third one's going to be hopefully better than all of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. I got to do it. I don't think I'm getting an hour special either from Comedy Central.
No, why not?
I think they passed. I don't think they're fucking into it. I don't know. I don't know, dude.
Do I need to talk to somebody?
Nah. You know, look, you know, I don't know, dude. I don't know. I'm going to do an hour.
Yeah.
This year, and I'm going to do it my way. That's why I love fucking, you see Stanhope's fucking stuff. It's just fucking shot somebody's cell phone, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't understand why it has to be such a fucking production.
Yeah.
Why can't we just fucking 5 cameras here at this club and shoot the hour? Shoot a couple shows and edit it together and let it be what it is.
You probably can do that.
Yeah, but you know, there's something, there's it's done that way for a reason, because when to make money, you need it this way.
Right.
And it's about money. To make money, to say in the sales department, we need to sell to these people. We need this product.
Right.
This product isn't going to sell to that age group.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, you
it's
know.
It's business.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is. And you know.
Yeah.
It's, money needs to be made.
Yeah.
Else.
You're right. Yeah. I mean, I'm not sitting here going, fuck every, you know, what the fuck in the artist, you know?
Yeah.
So the only thing that I'll do is the only way out of that is just go figure out another way to do it and do it.
Yeah.
And get it out there to the fucking my fans.
Yeah.
And when you review it, if you say it's fucking not as good as my first one, I'll fucking kill you.
I'm going to write the review today.
Don't. No, you haven't heard it. What's wrong with you?
I don't need to. Do you think I listen to any of the stuff I review?
Well, listen, dude. This is Dylan.
Yes.
From Laughspin, the editor-in-chief of Laughspin, formerly known as Punchline Magazine. If you guys used to go to Punchline all the time, now you know it's Laughspin. If you've never been to Punchline or Laughspin, go to laughspin.com. And I'm not saying this to be a piece of shit or to kiss your ass. You know, there's a few websites I go to. Gizmodo, I go to Gawker, I go to 9to5, I go to Laughspin, I go to Huffington Post.
Sure.
You know, there's a couple others too. I go to Cringe.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I go to Cringe too. They're fucking a little more aggressive, but
they have a different agenda for sure.
But this is, you know, this is the one I go to. Every day I'll go to this and check it out.
Thank you.
Because there's great articles, great videos, interviews, reviews. It's probably, I'll say this, is the most full comedy website out there as far as pretty much everything.
Yeah.
You get pretty much everything. And it's like you said, it's not just one brand of comedy. There's something for everybody here. I love that you're not up somebody's asshole. You know, because it probably wouldn't be me.
I mean, you know, if it's worth it for me to be up somebody's asshole, I'll probably be up somebody's asshole, but that asshole has not presented itself yet.
Well, maybe it will someday. Well, dude, thanks for being on this with me, bro.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I just want to let people know real quick that, you know, you can go to gloryholeradio.com to listen to this on your computer. You can download it to your phone or your computer. You can go to iTunes. You know what, dude? Podcast Robert Kelly. Make sure you subscribe and tell a fucking friend. I'm really getting sick of me being out of the top 200. Or me being in the one, you know, there's people, there's a fucking tranny, a shemale, that has a fucking more popular podcast.
All right, well.
So tell a fucking friend, get people to subscribe, tell everybody, subscribe to this shit, spread the word, it's up to you guys. And we also have brand new today that a big announcement that my new app, my new iPhone app that you can download right now if you want to.
Excellent. It's out?
It's out today, and it's free. I know that a lot of people bought the old one. There was a lot of problems. We were kind of pushing the limits with what an app could do back then. I wanted to give you a crazy shit. We had live updates and almost like a Twitter, an app Twitter feed right in that only people who had the app could see with video and photos. That company went out of business and blah, 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 blah. All the shit happened. So if you have the old app, delete that shit and go get the new one for free. And thank you for the dollar that you paid for the old one, because that paid for the new one. So you donated money for the free app.
There it is now, Robert Kelly Live.
That's it. Let me see it.
There it is.
That's it, man. Free. Hit that button, baby.
I'm hitting it now.
It's free. Robert Kelly app free is up right now on the iTunes store. It's streamlined. It's fucking pretty badass. I'm going to actually put some video up here.
Robert Kelly Live contains age-restricted material. Tap OK to confirm that you are 17 or over. Your content will then begin downloading immediately. This is happening.
It's dirty.
This is for real.
It's a dirty app.
If there's curse words on here, I'm going to be very upset.
Did you download it?
It's downloading now.
Right, here we go.
Your bald, pretty head is on my...
Yeah, everybody hates my new icon.
Why?
I don't know. You fucking bunch of ONA fans, just judgmental cuts.
Dude.
Yeah, I know. Someday I'll have fans that are fucking fans.
You have fans that are good. Yeah, but
this is the thing with fans. The ones that are awesome, that love you, they don't talk to you. They're just there. The ones that fucking hate you, they're the only ones that fucking seem to go, "You fucking cunt. Your fucking new stupid head thing looks stupid." It's like, go fuck yourself. I'd love to see you in public.
Those are probably your fans too, though.
I know. Well, a couple of them. This is the deal. Some of them aren't, though. And they're not following me, but they'll mention me in a fucking fucked up way to another comic to become friends with them,
yeah,
or to have them notice them through me. But you don't understand, stupid. That he's my friend, not yours. And I blocked him. I wish we could band together and just block people. But anyways, fuck it. I digress. I don't want to get on that. But we're here with... did you download the app?
It's still downloading.
It's still downloading. What are you on? Fucking 3G?
I don't know.
You should have jumped on the...
yeah, I'm on the 3G, buddy.
The Wi-Fi. Oh, Jesus.
What do I know?
I have no idea. Well, I want to thank you for doing the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
It was a blast. And again, check out the new app that's out today. Spread the word about the app. The podcast is on there.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Do you want to see the app on my phone? I can show you that while it's downloading.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, here we go.
So you're happy with... This was a different company that made this app for you?
It was actually a different company. Same... A guy from the company. It's Stay Square... is the name of the company, but mm-hmm. it's a guy from the original company broke off. And my web designer, Kurt Iverson, did this app together.
Got it.
So here is the app. And it's just streamlined. It's better. It's fucking better. But the podcast is on it, which people love. Just hit it right there. What happens when you open the app? If you're 100 miles within a show that I'm doing, that will automatically pop up.
That's awesome. Robert Kelly will be performing at Gotham Comedy Club on October 21st, 2011. That's pretty sweet.
That's right. It is sweet. And thanks for the plug. And then the podcast is up there.
Yeah.
We got a YouTube channel up there now too.
Yeah.
So there'll be a bunch of videos that I can update from literally from my phone.
Yeah.
And put them up there. The podcast, you can ask me, email me right from there. A soundboard with all the, you know, crazy fucking sounds that I've mostly from fucking ONA.
Oh, that's when they made you throw up.
That was actually all the throw ups together. This one's a good one.
Oh my God, dude. Was that a pickle jar? You want to do it in my butt? In my butt. I said, what? In the butt. I said, convertible boy.
Get him on the highway! There you go. Yeah, this app is fucking rocking. You got it.
Yeah,
there you
very
go.
Nice.
You got the app. How do you think of it? It's pretty
it's nice,
badass, right?
Yeah. It's really slick.
Yeah, it's pretty slick. It's. I think the app is the actual. Let me see. Look at this. Just got the app right there.
You see Bobby's head and all the places he's performing.
Yep, that's.
Or is this a map of all the places you've taken a shit?
No, that's actually when that's when you go to my dates. It actually has Google Maps, and it has instead of pins, it has my head.
And you could get the list. You can get the list form
up in the corner. You can hit the list.
That's nice.
And you can buy. If you hit one of those buttons, it will tell you. You can buy the tickets. You can call the club. You can add it to your calendar. You can go to the website. It's a pretty badass app because I think
you're in Vegas pretty soon, buddy.
I'm in Vegas this weekend. But this podcast will be up after that, so that doesn't matter. But so the app is up. So what do you think of the app?
I like it. The app is nice.
I think every comic is going to have an app in the future. Well, fuck the website.
They definitely need one. Yeah.
You know who else needs an app?
I do.
Laugh Spin.
Yeah, yeah. We're working on it.
You should talk to the guy at Stay Square.
Maybe we will.
Yeah.
Hasbrook Heights in January. That's like 5 minutes from where I live.
Well, you're fucking showing up then.
Yeah, I'll go.
There we go. So the app is Dylan mm-hmm. says
approved.
The new app is out, so check that out. Make sure you go to laughspin.com. This is a really good podcast.
Yeah, thanks.
I don't know, should we? I'll let you know that we did this podcast months ago.
Yeah,
and you came in. I gave you the wrong address.
You did.
You were late because of me.
Yes.
And you ran up here sweating.
Yes.
And I wound up fucking... Joe was on the podcast, and mm-hmm. I wound up fucking up the podcast. We lost the end of it.
It's okay.
So we had to redo it. It's okay. And it's been months, but I'm glad we redid it. This was way more interesting than the first one.
Agreed.
The first one was, you were a little out of it. I think it was like a lot of, this was a fucking great podcast.
That's really good.
So I hopefully you come back on.
Absolutely.
And next time with DeRosa.
That would be fun.
And you can tell him to his face that you think his album stinks. All right.
All right.
All right, buddy. So laughspin.com. What's your Twitter? You want to give out Laughspin?
Yeah, it's laughspin.com. Laughspin.com is my Twitter, is the Twitter handle. And Facebook is facebook.com/laughspin.
Awesome, man. Thanks for coming down, Dylan.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, congratulations on the baby.
Thank you.
The new one.
Thank you.
And the bikini wax.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks again for listening to another episode of You Know What Dude podcast on gloryholeradio.com. And make sure to check out all the other shows on the Glory Hole Network. If you're using the Stitcher app, type in the word fart when you register. iTunes users, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. If you're a real fan of the show and you want to show your support, go to gloryholeradio.com/Robert Kelly and hit the donate button. $10 will get you a shout out on the air. $20 will get you my first CD, Robert Kelly Live, not available in stores. If you have any questions, email me at robertkelly@gloryholeradio.com.